Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Last week we started considering Paul's hypothetical world. What would the world look like had Christ not risen from the dead? Paul draws us this hypothetical picture to call to order some in the Corinthian church who had started to think that this idea of the resurrection is unimportant. So this is Paul's argument. No resurrection, no gospel. No gospel, there's actually really no point to calling yourself a Christian, and all of it is basically vain. All of it is futile. That is Paul's basic argument. But turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll be reading the first 19 verses. It reads as follows. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles. I am unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Just so far in the reading God's word. Let us pray. Oh Lord, not only tonight, but even this week and every endeavor that I have undergone, which could be called a gospel endeavor, I am aware of this painful reality. My words alone, they are useless. My words alone, they cannot convince anyone in this room that Jesus died and rose again. My words alone, they cannot soften any hearts. My words alone, they cannot even bring sanctification to the believer, nor encouragement, nor strength, nor comfort. All of these things are beyond my words alone. And so, Lord, I must pray. I have to pray. I am desperate to pray this prayer. Oh, Lord, by your Spirit, would you be at work in our midst? By your Spirit, take the truth of your word and apply it first to my heart and to every heart present. By your Spirit, would you soften the unbeliever's heart? By your Spirit, would you sanctify the believer's heart? By your Spirit, O Lord. If it is just my words, it is meaningless. But in faith, I ask that the God of the universe, that he would be at work here this evening. This I pray in your name and for your kingdom's sake and your glory's sake. Amen. Why does the resurrection matter? That is the question we started to answer last week, and we continue to answer this week. And this week we answer it specifically focused on verse 17 of our text. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Just actually the first half of that clause, your faith is futile if Christ has not been raised. Now, last week we already considered the vainness of preaching and the vainness of faith in response to preaching. All gospel ministry is vain if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Now, I remind you of that because I want us to put these words against each other to draw out their meaning. These two words, vainness and futility of faith. Vain and futile. Paul uses both of those words in our text. Similar words, even in our English. Similar, even in the Greek. But still different words. So to draw out their meaning, let's pretend we are going on a hike. Going on a hike. I hate hiking, by the way, but let's just pretend we're going on a hike. We bring along our empty water bottles, and at the beginning of the hike or near the bottom, you by the river and you're filling up your water bottle. But as you reach down to fill up your water bottle, you realize it is riddled with holes. It is in vain that you brought that water bottle along. It is in vain that you reach down to fill it with water. And preaching is vain. This was last week. And that initial response of, I believe, I put my faith in Jesus. It is in vain if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Initial saving faith at the bottom of the mountain before you continue on the life's journey of the Christian life. It is all in vain. That very beginning, it is in vain if Jesus did not rise from the dead. It holds no water. That is vain. It is in vain. Well, what about futility? Let's say you are a normal human being and you checked your water bottle and it doesn't have holes in it. You fill it up, it's holding water. You begin your hike, you're going up the mountain, you're carrying on with life's journey. It's a hot day, the toil is hard, you stop often to drink, and you try and replenish your strength from this water that you collected at the bottom of the hill. But as you near the end of your journey, you come across a village, and the village people, they tell you that the water of the river is contaminated. It's unsafe to drink. Why? Because just up the river, a disease-riddled cow died, and the corpse is just lying in the river there. And even as they explain this to you, you feel unwellness creep up on your body. It's just an analogy. But here's the point. It was futility for you to fill that bottle with water. It was futility for you to carry that bottle of water up the hill with you. You thought this was going to bring you life. You thought it was going to bring you energy. You thought it would replenish your strength. You thought it would be coolness to the heat of the day. But it actually brought you nothing. At worst, it was killing you slowly. But at best, it actually gave you nothing. Futility. Futility if Jesus did not rise from the dead. So, vain faith, empty from the start, it cannot save you. Futile faith, it has the appearance of fullness, but its fullness cannot bring you life throughout the Christian journey. That which you thought was worth living for, that which you thought was giving you life, that which you thought was worth walking up the mountain with, it could not satisfy you. It could not cleanse you. It could not sanctify you. As the verse says, you remain still in your sins. If Christ did not rise from the dead. The futility of faith. Not just the vainness of professing to be a Christian, but the futility of all the subsequent years committed to Christianity, pursuing the Christian life. They are futile if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Well, if that's what vain and futile means, let's go down the road then with Paul. Let's follow his hypothesis. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then faith is futile. Faith is futile. So as we did last week, we start with the negative. Without the resurrection, the Christian life lived by faith is futile. Now you'll hear me say, the entirety of the New Testament points to this. In fact, the entire Bible points to this. But just narrowing it down to three aspects, three scriptures that jumped to my mind when I considered faith. So 1.1, our pursuit of godly living, it is futile. If faith is futile, then our pursuit of godly living is futile. Now, what am I talking about with that? In Christ, we know this, we have imputed righteousness. That's right standing before God. When God looks at me, he sees not all my sins, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. That is Christ's righteousness imputed unto me. That is salvation, bare-bones salvation. We don't have that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But Paul is reaching beyond that. He's reaching beyond just initial saving faith. He's saying, you as a saved person, you have the ambition, I hope, of living a godly life, a righteous life. You want to obey God. You want to be holy. And so my proposition to you is that all of those things depend on the resurrection of Jesus. Galatians 2, verse 20, I found helpful. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20, just a few verses earlier, Galatians 2:16, justified by faith. But now, verse 20, I'm not living, it is Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, as I live and breathe, I live that life by faith. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you follow just the logic of that verse, it's logical. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it's futility. Because how can a dead Jesus be alive within me? How does a dead Jesus give me life? Let's phrase it like this. Faith, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, it cannot produce life. Now, I'm not talking about a beating heart within your chest. I'm talking about God, a God-glorifying life, a life lived for God. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you cannot live that life for God. You see what's at stake? If you do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you have no Christian life to live. It's meaningless. It's futile. Not only is it not worth living, but it's also void of life itself. Minus the resurrection, and I think have Ephesians 2 in your minds. Minus the resurrection, we are still dead in the trespasses of our sins. There's no but God moment which makes us alive. There's no saved by faith, but neither is there created anew in Christ Jesus for good works. We just remain dead. Not just unforgiven, but dead. What does dead mean? Unable to produce life. Dead people cannot do good works because they are dead. Dead people cannot live righteously before God because they are dead. They are dead. Here it is again. Romans 8, 9 to 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you get it? If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, there's the resurrection. If that Spirit, if that power dwells in you, then he who raises Christ Jesus from the dead also gives life, eternal bodies, no, mortal bodies, your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. Minus the resurrection, there's no life given to my mortal body to live. Minus the resurrection, faith is futile, because it cannot produce good, godly, Christ-like life in me. Now, that's the scriptures. What does that mean for you and me practically? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, all our good works thus far in our life have just been fueled by the will of man. All that has had the appearance of goodness in my life, it was just my best attempt at following God's law. Why? Because it was void of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. There was nothing spiritual about it. I was just a wretch trying my best, and the Bible tells us that wretched sinners trying their best, all their best is just dirty rags in the eyes of God. Whatever love you have given, whatever forgiveness you have offered, or all that you've given to the poor, all that tithe, all that time, all that service you gave to the church, or all the acts that you thought you were acting in obedience to God, all the times you said no to sin, all the times you tried to do the right thing, all of it. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, all of that is meaningless because there was no object of your faith. And there's no point in living out a faith whose object is dead. And of course, if you remove the objects of our faith, then you lose the substance of our faith. And if you have faith with no object and no substance, it is futile. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we remain unable to live a life pleasing to God. The only pathway that Scripture offers us, that Christianity offers us, rather that God offers us, the only pathway to live a God-glorifying life is through through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hence Paul says, yet it was not I, but it was Christ in me. And so Paul says to these Corinthians, if you want to play games with the doctrine of resurrection, then your pursuit of godly living is futile. It is futile. Secondly, our stand against evil is futile. Now what came to mind there was that shield of faith in Ephesians 6. The context is the armor of God that Paul is encouraging these Christian Ephesians to wear. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, it is futility to raise your shield against the darts of the evil one. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are at the mercy of evil. Our faith applied to our lives, again, as we walk up this mountain of life, you are at the mercy of all the snakes, all the scorpions, all the roaring lions along the way that seek to devour you. You are at the mercy of the scorching heat, the water you carry, the faith you carry. It's inadequate to replenish your liquids. It's inadequate to moisten your tongue. And every step you take, you're just turning into a dry raisin, and you might as well just drop dead and be fried by the sun. There's no point to it all if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Our stand against evil is futile. The evil one goes to and fro, and he does what he likes to those who call themselves Christians. He does what he likes because their Savior is dead in the grave, and so their faith is futile, and so they have no shield of substance if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Thirdly, suffering for the faith is futile. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, living hope is not a living hope, it is a dead hope. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we lose assurance of inheritance kept in heaven, and we don't even have access to it. If he did not rise from the dead, we lose the sustaining power of God through faith, mind you, that guards us for that final day. If he did not rise from the dead, our faith has no object, it is lacking in substance, and so when our faith is tested, we might as well give it up. And so to suffer for the faith, any form of suffering for the faith, it loses its substance if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Why be hated by the world if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Why stand for what is right and say no to what is wrong? Why do that for a dead Jesus? Why reject the peer pressure of your friends if Jesus is dead? Why listen to lecturers telling you about evolution and dinosaurs and all that wonderful stuff, and the world is billions of years old. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we can just gobble all of that up. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why don't we just live like the world lives? It's no point to marriage. Just sleep with your girlfriend, sleep with your boyfriend. There's no point to law and order. If you dislike someone, just go murder them. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it all falls apart. One preacher put it like this, and I'll conclude this section with this. Every verse, nay, every word of the New Testament is written, now we believe, yes, under the divine direction of the Holy Spirit, but it is written also, humanly speaking, it is written under the conviction that the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact. Every word written under the conviction that Jesus rose from the dead and that the resurrection is a historical fact and that the resurrection is real, and it is as real as this building, it's as real as this pulpit, it's as real as all these eyes looking at me right now. Every word of the New Testament is written under the conviction that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And so once more, take away the resurrection of Jesus. There's no Christian life to live. The Christian lives we see demonstrated in Scripture, the instructions given by Paul's letters and the other letters to the first century churches, the faith that we are told about, the believing and the be baptized that we are told about, the sacrifices made, the martyrs, all of it is futile. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we may as well just look like the world, because all our attempts of not looking like the world, they can never amount to anything. All of life is faith. All of faith is governed by Scripture. All of Scripture was divinely inspired, first in anticipation of the resurrection, and then secondly in witness to the resurrection. Take away the resurrection, we can close our Bibles. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if he didn't rise from the dead, you don't have to follow a single instruction in this book. It would be futile to even attempt to. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you have no reason to live a holy life. And not even you have no reason to, you lack the means to live a holy life. And so it's all futility if Jesus did not rise from the dead. So in the first instance, we have followed Paul, some of the futility of faith. But in the second instance, because you and I, if you are a believer, you and I believe that the gospel is true and the gospel did indeed culminate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, we have a life to be lived by faith, and it is not futility. It is not futility. Therefore, because Jesus did rise from the dead, because the Spirit of him who rose Jesus from the dead, because that Spirit dwells within us, therefore, you and I, we wake up in the morning, and by faith not in ourselves, but faith in the risen Christ, by faith we can go about our lives doing the good works that he has prepared for us. Do you know what a relief that is? Christians, we ought not, and we don't need to think of God like some strict, harsh, hard to please father who is constantly on edge and constantly looking for a reason to be disappointed in us and who will never really be pleased with us. God isn't like that. Because the gospel is true, because Christ rose on the third day, because of that, you have a Christian life worth living. And you have the means to live it because the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it is in you. And so by faith, go live it out. By faith, go live it out. But when you do, remember to say with Paul, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Therefore, because Jesus did rise from the dead, I can lift my shield of faith. And the point isn't the quality of the feelings within me about the faith that I have in Christ. The point isn't, I feel good about my faith today, therefore the evil one's got nothing on me. But this is the point. The object of my faith is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and because also the substance of my faith is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, when I lift my shield of faith, the shield absorbs the fiery darts of the evil one, because the risen Christ is greater than all the powers, all the authorities, all the principalities of evil. Do you know what a relief that is? Do you know what a relief it is to know that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world? Do you know what a relief it is to know that I am not at the mercy of the devil? And I don't need to live in fear of the evil one. I can resist him and he will flee. Because of me? No, because Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, because Jesus did rise from the dead, as I encounter these tests, these trials along the pathway of life, I can rejoice because I have an inheritance to look forward to. I can take comfort, I can take solace in the fact that it is the power of God within me, guarding me and sustaining me. And so because there is a substance to our faith, there is an object to our faith, and because our faith has both an author and a perfecter, therefore when we are tested, when we face these trials, it is not futility to hold on to our faith. Because it is a living hope, and he is alive. We will not be put to shame for holding on to our faith in the midst of trials. Because Jesus rose from the dead. My friends, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, This is what strikes at my heart in this passage and even all of Scripture. We are challenged to connect the dots from the cross to the life that we live. And the life that we live, it ought to be lived in faith that Jesus died and he rose again. And that faith, it is not futile if the gospel is true. And there's no dead cow in the river contaminating the water. And the water you drink as a Christian, day by day, week by week, it is not slowly killing you. No, it is the opposite. It is strength in your bones. It is fire in your heart and in your soul. It is life. It is sanctification and its end, eternal life. It is not futility. Because he rose from the dead. That's what I'm after. The gospel, you see, the gospel, it's not a true or false question that you answer just before you get baptized. The gospel, it's not an EE3 certificate that I get to hang up in my office or in my home. The gospel is not just something we sing about once a week at church. The gospel is the very foundation upon which the entirety of our lives is built. The gospel is that which gives life to our homes, wives, husbands, children, gives life to our work, masters, bosses, slaves, servants, employees, that's Ephesians 5 and 6. Government, Romans 13, I think it is. The gospel gives life to every single aspect of your existence. Why? because this is true. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, the spotless Lamb, He lived, He died on the cross for our sins, He was buried, He rose again on the third day. He did all of these in accordance with the Scriptures, in obedience to the Father's will, stirred by the Father's love, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have life. Life. Life in abundance, a life saved by the gospel so that you may live a life touched by the gospel, a life that reflects the gospel in all its spheres and aspects. The abundance of life lived by faith. A life lived in anticipation of eternal life that is a sure promise to all those who believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? For those who do believe, I propose to you that your life lived by faith, it is not futile because Jesus rose from the dead. For in Him we live and breathe and move, and in Him, in the risen Christ, we have our very being. Just so far. Lord, many words, perhaps too many words. But I ask that You would use that which I have offered in my weakness. Use it for Your kingdom and for Your glory. Not because of me, but because of the risen Christ. Please, O Lord, for His name's sake, for His kingdom's sake, for His glory's sake, do I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.